saying about that Friday evening with Adrian when he's
going to be doing that evening of training and equipping. If when Peter was saying that and talking about those who want to develop their prophetic gift or find their prophetic kind of voice, if you in your mind thought, oh, that was not me, I'm not sure that applies to me, and you kind of, something in your mind just clicked close on that, can I invite you please to click open on that? Because we believe the Bible says that we can all hear from God and speak out what God is putting on our heart. That's what prophecy is. And so I would love us all to be here on that Friday night, because it's something we want to grow in, isn't it? In hearing from God, hearing God's voice, sharing that with one another, being able to weigh that together and respond to God. So Friday the 21st, don't just think, oh, that's for the prophetic people, whatever that means. Please come along, because we are all going to have something that we can learn, faith and gifts imparted to us on that evening. Adrian has such just a fantastic way, just very down to earth, a great guy, but really used by God in this area. So please come along that Friday, get that date in your diary. The second thing I just wanted to say was just in that worship, one of the songs that we were talking about was talking about how God turns mourning into dancing. And one of the scriptures in the Bible that kind of refers to that, Isaiah 61, it talks about God turning mourning into dancing, comforting those that are grieving, turning ashes into beauty, mourning into gladness, despair into praise. And as we were singing that, I just felt something in my spirit of God saying that for people here, there is a moment coming soon of a breaking of despair, or a breaking of mourning, or a breaking of a sense of kind of ashes or bereavement over you. And what came to my mind was a slightly odd thing. We probably still have it, a children's game called Pig Goes Pop. And the kind of the idea is this game, you have this plastic kind of pig dressed up in kind of fancy dress, and you kind of feed him stuff. And as you do, his belly gets bigger and bigger until eventually the person kind of puts in something into his mouth and he goes pop. And not literally, his kind of belt pops open. And but there's just that kind of, whoa, that sudden breaking open. I just had that in my spirit, actually, that as we continue to pray in faith, as we continue to worship, as we continue to give thanks to God and press into him, actually that, for people here, maybe you're feeling, I feel in a bit of time of despair or mourning or discouragement. Just a word of encouragement from God for you. Keep praying, keep believing, keep pressing into him, keep worshiping him, because there is a time of suddenly the breaking of that and the goodness of God breaking in. So now we're going to turn to Psalm 126. So if you've got a Bible, can I encourage you, or a Bible app, something on your phone or a device, to find it. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're so welcome. Just trust you feel really at home and comfortable with us. We have been embarking on a new series on Sunday mornings, working through some of the story of the Exodus. So I've just been put up by seeing my PowerPoint. I haven't pressed the button and yet it's come up there. Thank you, Zach, for doing that. And looking, as Peter was saying earlier, at that Old Testament narrative of God breaking his people out of slavery, leading them into freedom, just how that speaks so powerfully of what Jesus has done for us. And so we're just enjoying getting into that. But we at Elsham Community Church, those that are visiting may not know this. Hopefully, if you're a member of our regular family, you do. We're coming up to our gift days over the next 2 weeks. We had a church family meeting last Sunday evening where we were just sharing some of the exciting things that God has been doing and some of the kind of challenges ahead of us. And so we felt it would be really helpful this Sunday just to kind of pick up on that, look at this psalm together and just have a little bit of time to pray into that. just to let you know, if you weren't able to make last Sunday evening's meeting, we have a letter that just kind of tells you what we shared about. We'll be sharing a little bit again this morning. It will be coming via email electronically for all of those of you who are able to receive it that way within the next 24 hours. If you aren't on email or you really like a kind of physical copy to read, we've got some at the back, so please feel free to take one of those. But Gift Day isn't about meeting targets. It isn't about funding projects. It isn't about balancing our books. Gift days, I believe, are about dreaming and sowing. And that's what I want to talk about this morning from Psalm 126. Dreaming and sowing. Okay, sowing as in the seed rather than the needlework. Okay, just to clarify that. This psalm, Psalm 126, talks about dreaming and sowing. I'm just going to see here. So I want us to read it through, and then just want to spend a short while talking about these two things out of this psalm, and then to have an opportunity for us to pray. So let's read this psalm together. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So we're going to be just thinking this morning about dreaming and about sowing. And this psalm tells us that both of these things are channels through which God longs to pour joy and blessing into our lives. Dreaming and sowing are both channels that God longs to pour joy and blessing into our lives through. So we're going to think about dreaming first. So why do we dream? In the kind of natural sense, maybe sometimes you dream if you've kind of watched something quite vivid that's caught your imagination before you went to bed, or you read something quite vivid. Sometimes I know if I've done that, I kind of dream, and my dreams sort of have some kind of weird reflection of that. I know sometimes if I kind of wake up, a couple of times this week I've woken up at about 5 and then got to sleep again, but you kind of, it's that sort of light sleep, isn't it? And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I tend to kind of have lots of kind of dreams and things going on in my mind if I ever do that. But that's not what this psalm is talking about. The psalm isn't talking about daydreams either. It's not talking about human ambition. It's not talking about wishing on a star. This is what I believe this psalm is talking about. Dreaming is the God-given act of imagining the supernatural possibilities of his goodness being unleashed on the earth. That's kind of my, as I was thinking about it, definition. Dreaming is the God-given act of imagining the supernatural possibilities of God's goodness unleashed on the earth. So the psalmist, right at the beginning of this song of praise, he says, when the Lord restored our fortunes, restored the fortunes of the people, the word Zion just represents the people of God, we were like men who dreamed. For the psalmist, dreaming wasn't based in kind of imagination or fantasy, but it was rooted in his history, in his people's history. He's remembering a time when you restored our fortunes, or you might have when you brought us back from captivity, we dreamed. We don't know whether the psalmist was thinking of a specific event in history. It could very well be the kind of the Exodus story that we're looking at this term. That he was thinking about, or just generally how God deals with mankind in graciously saving and restoring lives that have been broken and scarred by sin. But dreaming here isn't based in fantasy, it's based in history for the psalmist. And the same is true for us. So why might we be able to dream this way? Well, firstly, because why might we be able to dream of the possibilities, the supernatural goodness of God being unleashed? Because we've experienced it. So just like the psalmist was able to look back and to say, we've experienced God's goodness, so we dreamed. Verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us. He's not dreaming about something that he has no experience of, but he's dreaming about something that he and his people have tasted and have seen. And like the psalmist, and like the Israelites, if you know God, then you know that you've been saved and chosen by him to receive grace. You've been made new creation. You've been forgiven. You've been set free from your past, free from guilt, free from power, free from the power of sin and darkness. You've been given eternal life. You have a heavenly reward to be looking forward to. When we dream of God's supernatural goodness being unleashed, it's not out of fantasy. It's out of our own personal experience of it. We can dream of it because we've tasted of it, because our lives have been transformed by God's goodness. Who would have thought that God himself would die in our place? We've been singing about that this morning. God's goodness, such love. When I'm guilty and he is perfect, that he would take that all-pervading stain and stench of sin in my life on himself on the cross and make me new with his own beautiful righteousness. Everything I deserve, he took. My guilt, my punishment, my separation from God, the things that I deserved, and everything that's his by right as the Son of God is given to me as a free gift of grace. Who would have imagined it? That's the kind of the feeling that you get when you read that opening couple of verses of this psalm. It's like we were men who dreamed. When we experienced God's amazing saving grace, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. It's almost that kind of wide-eyed imagining, wondering, grabbing each other. Can you believe it? Can you believe what God has done for us? Isn't it incredible? That sense of, well, anything is possible, surely. If God has done this for us, what more might he not do? Romans 8:32, really famous passage. It tells us that if God didn't withhold his only son, but gave him up for us, how much more will he freely give us all things? There's this sense of being able to dream because we've experienced God's goodness. We can dream because we've been set free. You know, it's hard to dream with a heavy heart, isn't it? When you're bowed down with worry or fear or care, it's hard to dream. It's hard for your heart and your mind to soar and to imagine glorious possibilities when you feel weighed down, because you're so focused on coping with the now, coping with today, that it feels like dreaming is beyond your capacity. But when God sets us free, when God's grace is unleashed into our lives, his supernatural goodness, with it comes a freedom and a lightness of heart and a joy that is fertile ground for dreams. It's fertile ground for imagining more of God's incredible goodness. And we can think about tomorrow and the future and dream of what God might do in it. We've been given freedom. I know it's something that we have to battle for, isn't it, at times. We do very quickly and easily get bogged down with kind of cares and worries and fears, and it's only in coming back into God's amazing presence and praying and just positioning ourselves in that place, worshipping him, giving thanks to him, that again, his spirit comes and amazingly just begins to kind of lift that from us. And as he does, suddenly our hearts are fertile ground for dreaming. God longs for us to dream, just to imagine in him possibilities of his supernatural goodness. That's part of what these gift days are about. They're dreaming, oh, Lord, what might you do in the coming weeks and months? What might you do? We've experienced in our lives, Lord, you've given us a freedom that we can just imagine. We can think ahead. One of Anne's favorite verses in Proverbs 31. It's referring to a kind of a woman, but it says she's clothed with strength and dignity and she can laugh at the days to come. That's just a great phrase, isn't it? That sense of, you know, whatever tomorrow's got, and we don't know. Jesus said tomorrow, you know, has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about that. But there's that sense of lightness in our spirit that says, well, you know, we can laugh at that because we know God is good. We know he's with us. We know he's going to keep us. We know that he's got wonderful possibilities, wonderful things that he's planned to unleash his goodness in our lives and through our lives. And so we're able to kind of dream, to think about that. God wants us to dream in him. So we can dream because we've experienced God's goodness. We can dream about the potential and the possibilities of God unleashing his goodness because we've been set free. Oh, and now my button stopped working. That was good. Thank you, Zach. I wonder if you can click the next one for me. And we can also dream, and this is the last bit, because we're empowered to dream. We're empowered to dream. God has opened our eyes from a human way of thinking to see with a new heavenly perspective, new possibilities. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to dream. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives. That famous prophecy in Joel 2 that Peter quotes in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. He says this is a sign, one of the signs of the Holy Spirit being poured out on his people is that you will prophesy, you will see visions, and you will dream dreams. They're all part of that same activity of the Holy Spirit, prophesying, seeing visions, and dreaming dreams, where God reveals his heart to us as his people. God wants to put Holy Spirit dreams in our hearts of what he might do. Are we convinced that God is good, that he loves us, that he has power to save and to set free because we've experienced it, because we have that freedom in our hearts? Then he wants the Holy Spirit to stir fresh dreams in us for what that might look like and what he might do. So our gift day that's coming up over the next 2 weeks is about that. It's about dreaming dreams. God, what might you do? It's what our 2020 vision is about. It's why we have a building project. These are dreams that the Holy Spirit has put in our hearts, stirred and inspired by the prophetic. This is what we dare to believe that it might look like. What God has given us faith for. So when you think about a building project, I don't get excited by building. I don't get excited by DIY. I don't get excited by bricks and mortar. What I get excited by, it's not about targets. It's not about bricks and mortar. It's about just allowing the Holy Spirit to stir my imagination, my dreams, to think of a prayer room in the corner that's filled with people who are encountering the power of God in healing and being set free and being restored. It's about imagining and dreaming about facilities out the back where scores of children and young people can meet and grow and laugh and encounter God and pray. It's about dreaming about having a quality coffee bar at the front where people can come in, parents on the school run, people just coming in off the street because they've heard this is a great place to be. It's a place where they're going to find welcome. It's a place that they've heard there are people who care for them, who want to pray for them. If they're sick, that they hear, they can come and be prayed for. If they've got kind of needs, that they know that there's going to be someone who is here who is going to listen and reach out to them. It's about dreaming dreams. So that's what our gift day is about. It's about dreaming dreams. God-given act of imagining the supernatural possibilities of his goodness unleashed on earth. And that is a channel of God's grace to us for releasing joy and blessing into our lives. It's great to dream dreams. It does something good within us. It's exciting. There's joy. There's blessing in kind of just allowing the Holy Spirit to stir those things in us. And then when we see them begin to come to pass, wow, that's amazing. We're going to think about sowing in just a sec. But before we do, just look at verse 4 of Psalm 126. Just turn slightly. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. So restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. You know, a vital part of dreaming is that we then turn that into urgent, expectant, and persistent prayer. It's a vital part of dreaming. We've been thinking about that, looking at that over the summer. Remember we had those two Sundays when we were listening to that teaching that Terry Virgo brought at the Relational Mission Leadership Conference on prayer. Can I encourage you so strongly, if you weren't here over those weeks, to look up on the Relational Mission website and listen to that teaching that Terry Virgo brought. It was just so helpful, stirring us again about the need to get hold of God in prayer. Because that is what releases power from heaven to fulfill God's purposes amongst us, to turn those dreams into reality. So we need to pray. We need to pray for gifts of faith. We need to pray for courage and strength to keep going in obedience. Maybe you're kind of struggling a little bit with elements of the vision or the building project. Maybe you kind of see people around you and you think, well, I wish I was excited about it like they're excited about it. Do you know, the best way is just to begin to pray about it. To ask God, Lord God, would you just capture my heart with all your plans? Would you stir dreams in me? Get alongside those who have faith for it and pray with them. Every opportunity, on Sundays, on our encounter evenings, our Relational Mission Enough events. We've got one on the 4th of November. We're going to be hosting it here. Come along. It's going to be a great time. Getting together in twos or threes in these huddles. Getting together and praying. It's a vital part of dreaming is that we then turn that into expectant, urgent, and persistent prayer. And as we do, it will become a channel of God's grace being poured into our lives. God's blessing, God's joy being poured into our lives. So we want to dream, and that's a big part of what our gift day is about. Thank you, Zach. You can just click on. Thank you, and to the next one. And the next one. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to think a little bit about sowing, because this is the second part of what our gift day is about. It's about imagining the possibilities of the supernatural goodness of God being unleashed on earth. And then sowing, as this psalm goes on to talk about, is the God-given act of investing in the supernatural possibilities of his goodness unleashed on earth. So, you know, I've heard some really good talks on giving. I remember Bruce, one of our elders, preaching last year on giving. It was just fantastic. In the last kind of couple of weeks, I've heard a preach from John Wilthew. Many of you will know John. He's been here before on giving. That just was fabulous. And so shamelessly, I'm going to borrow some of John's points that he preached on at Wyndham and just talk a little bit about the dynamics of giving and the grace of giving. Because when we talk about sowing, we can sow in many different ways. Okay, we can sow in giving of our time. We can sow in giving of our gifts. We can sow in prayer. Okay, but we're thinking about our gift day coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I just want us to think about sowing in terms of giving and how we use our money. And we're going to just refer back to the verses at the end of this psalm. So it says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. But I'd also like us to turn to the New Testament. I haven't got these scriptures up on the screen, I'm afraid. So if you've got a Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we're just going to be picking out a few verses from there. And if you can't see that, then you just have to take my word for it that it's there and you can check up later. Okay, this passage talks about sowing. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. So the context is they have promised Paul that they're going to send a gift to help the church in Jerusalem that are suffering in a time of famine, but they haven't followed through with that promise yet. And Paul, he mentions in his letter here to that church, churches in Macedonia, that was Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, and he says to the Corinthian church, you know, even though they were suffering themselves, they've given ridiculously generously towards this need in Jerusalem. And Paul is now spurring the Corinthian church on not to miss out on what God is doing, but to give with a similar kind of sacrificial generosity and joy. And in chapter 9, verse 6, as he comes towards the end of what he's saying to them at this point of the letter, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God is God loves a graceful giver, a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So we thought about dreaming. Now we want to think about sowing. Sowing is the God-given act of investing the supernatural possibilities of his goodness unleashed on the earth. So how can we sow like this? And I just want to bring out 4 points from these two chapters. How can we sow this way? Because we're rich in God. How can we give generously and sacrificially? Because we are rich in God. We've already talked about and worshipped about and given thanks for all that God has done for us in saving us and restoring us and giving us eternal life. That's a free gift. You know that, don't you? That we don't pay for it. We cannot pay for it. We're saved through grace by faith. God wants us to be continually caught up in the wonder of his saving grace and the cross and the price that he has paid for us. In chapter 8 of this letter to the Corinthians in verse 9, he talks about it. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. God wants us to be full of laughter and joy at the sheer extravagance of his love and goodness to us. We are so rich in God, aren't we? So rich in him. And the foundation of everything that we believe about giving, about sowing, about investing our money into God's kingdom is based on this, that God has already made us rich. He has given riches beyond our imagination, beyond measure to us, through Jesus Christ. And so as we come to our gift day in the next couple of weeks, God doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. That's what he wants. Because when he has our hearts, when our hearts respond to his grace with just an outpouring of thankfulness and worship and wonder, then he has everything of us, doesn't he? He has our worship, he has our money, he has our time, he has our gifts. He wants our heart. There is no way that we can ever outgive God. No way that we will ever outgive God. We are incredibly rich in him. So that sets us free to sow. Second reason, thank you, Zach, we can sow this way is because God's grace is at work in us. Do you know, when you see someone giving generously, sacrificially to God's kingdom, it is a sure sign and evidence of God's grace at work in their lives. Sacrificial giving is a grace thing. In verse 7 of chapter 8, Paul says, he says this, excel in the grace of giving. It's a grace thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a sign of God powerfully at work in our lives. Giving generously, sacrificially to God is not a natural thing to do, is it? It's a grace thing. It's a work of God. It's a sign of his grace at work in our lives. When he talks about how the Macedonian churches gave, it says, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. It's not like you don't get a picture of they sat down and they weighed it up very carefully and they totted up what they could and couldn't afford. They didn't say, well, does this make sound fiscal sense? They were just overflowing with joy and extreme poverty. Well, that's just a crazy kind of contradiction, isn't it? Overflowing with joy and extreme poverty that welled up in rich generosity. It was a sign of God's grace in their lives. And when we give, it's a sign of God's grace in our lives. Not a natural thing to do. It's God at work gloriously by his grace. When God gets hold of our hearts and our hearts say, we want to give, it's a sign of his grace. It's when supernatural things start to happen in our lives, when God's grace is at work. Now, I'm really conscious, whenever we talk about giving or as we come to a gift day, there might be those of you that get really stirred and excited and say, yeah, I know I can give towards this. I've got money set aside. I can give generously and sacrificially to this. I know that there will be some people here who for various different reasons, maybe you're in a difficult financial situation at the moment. Maybe there are other constraints on you, but that will be a hard thing for you to hear because you'll be thinking, well, I really want to give, but I've just got so little that I can actually give at the moment. Well, these verses, as Paul talks about giving, he makes it very clear that the amount that we give in itself is not the defining thing. Verse 12, he says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he doesn't have. If you have a little amount, yet you're willing to give it sacrificially, that's a huge miracle. That's just an unbelievable working of God's grace in your life. Jesus, one time when he was in the temple and there were people bringing their kind of offerings and some making quite a big show of bringing big gifts, and then there was a widow who just bought a small coin because that was all that she had, and Jesus, he picked her out as an example of the grace of God being demonstrated. So if you just have a little, yet you're willing to give it sacrificially, that's just a miracle. It's just a sign of God's grace. And you know what? When we do this, there is the promise of God in scriptures. When we bring sacrificial giving, what does God say? Philippians 4:19, it says, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. We can't outgive God. God wants us to have stories to tell of his amazing provision for us. Just briefly, I want to touch on the subject of tithing, because that's a work of grace. Tithing is giving a tenth of your regular income to God's work through the local church. It's a kind of a biblical principle that was set up in the Old Testament. It seems a strange and scary idea for lots of people, particularly for new Christians or people who've maybe not been brought up in this kind of faith and practice. Joking, giving a tenth of all I have to God's work. But it's a biblical principle. And it's an Old Testament principle. So is it something of law? Because we believe in grace, don't we? The law is there, it's good, but we know that we can't ever meet the law. We can't perfectly satisfy the law. That's why Jesus came, to fulfill the law for us, so that we could then be righteous through him. We know that's grace. But is tithing all about law? Should we just ignore it because we say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace? Well, the first person in the Bible who tithed wasn't under law. They were pre-law. That was Abraham. And we haven't got time to look at it now, but he met this mysterious kind of king and priest called Melchizedek. The Bible tells us it's kind of like a shadow, a forerunning shadow of Jesus himself. And Abraham gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. Who told him to? Nobody. It wasn't law, it was grace. It was something God put in his heart. So is tithing all about the law? Well, no, not necessarily. There are no rules and instructions in the New Testament about tithing. And in this church, we will never be putting pressure on anyone to tithe. We never will. We never have. But I just want to say this and kind of give some testimony of this. Because I believe actually tithing builds in a wonderful godly kind of principle and foundation in our lives about giving. It can become legalistic, but it doesn't need to if it's brought under grace. It can also be a great springboard to supernatural, grace-filled giving in our lives. Anne and I have always made it a principle to tithe our income. I don't say that to kind of hold myself up as any great example, but just to say that God has blessed us incredibly through it. The joy that we have in it. Now, that means we've made choices and priorities in our lives. Again, I just want to kind of just share testimony, really. It means that we've not saved for great holidays or replaced our car regularly. We've made choices, and yet God has blessed us. We've been on some wonderful holidays. We went to New Zealand a few years ago. Yeah, we didn't have to pay for that. Someone paid for that for us. We have a very reliable car. We've always had reliable cars. It's not been the flashiest, not been the newest. But God blesses. We believe God's blessed us beyond measure. He's always met our needs. We've received gifts at different times when we've had needs. So tithing, it can be a wonderful grace thing. When we step out in faith in it. And I believe it's just a wonderful godly principle and foundation that you can put in your life to help you in this area. Grace isn't about calculating percentages, though, but about giving joyfully, willingly, sacrificially as a response to God's grace. It takes our giving out of the realm of law into the realm of God's grace where miracles can happen. There's a prophecy, as well known in Malachi 3, where just God encourages his people to bring their full tithe, and he says, test me in this. See that I won't open up heaven and pour out blessing more than you can handle. So we can sow this way because we're rich in God, because God's grace is at work in us. Could I have the next one? Because God has given us victory. There's a spiritual battle element to giving, isn't there? We said it's not a natural thing for us. When we talk about it, when we think about it, when we plan it, sometimes it can, I don't know if you've ever felt this, immediately produce a response of feeling churned up inside. There is something of a battle in giving, even for kind of Christians who've been walking with God a long, long time. Suddenly we remember a bill that we've got to pay, or something that needs replacing. Or we get the feeling we really ought to save towards this. It is a spiritual battle. The church in Corinth had promised this gift, but they hadn't given it yet. Why hadn't they given it? Well, maybe partly because they just hadn't got around to it. They were kind of a bit disorganized. And we can be a bit like that, can't we? God can stir us about giving to something, but we just haven't got around to setting up a direct debit or writing a check. The good news is we can help this morning with that. We've got gift aid forms and direct debit standing order forms. If you want some help with that, you can speak to one of the elders or Jim when he gets back. We can help, just get organized. But actually beneath that, there is a spiritual issue with giving. And Paul addresses it in this passage to the Corinthian church. And he says, we don't want people to give grudgingly. In chapter 9, verses 5 to 7. I'm just going to whiz through this. It says, we don't want people to give grudgingly or sparingly or reluctantly. He said, God loves a cheerful giver. Why is this a spiritual battle? Why is giving a spiritual battle? Well, Jesus said this. He said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, might be in your translation, certainly in the New International Version, it translates it as, you can't serve God and money. That's not probably the most accurate or helpful translation, because money is quite a neutral word. Mammon is the kind of the Aramaic word that Jesus would have spoken and used, and it means more than just money. It means about wealth. It means there's a kind of spiritual element to it of kind of hold or getting the way that money can get a kind of a hold or a grip of our hearts. It's talking about a spiritual power that trusts in money, that where you put your trust in money, you put your trust in wealth that would, we know, easily seek to control us or cause us to trust in money, not God. You know, you look at an example in the news of like someone like Sam Allardyce this week, and I want to make a big comment on that, but you think, well, hey, you know, he's got such a huge wage. Why is he so concerned about getting some more money for something else? And it just easily happens to us, doesn't it? That it can get a grip on our hearts. But the Bible says, Colossians 2, says that Jesus has broken every spiritual power that might have control or hold over us. On the cross, he's disarmed every spiritual power and authority to set us free. They no longer need to have control over us. And so God has given us victory over this. Over the power that money can have in our lives. It's a spiritual battle thing, but when we step out in obedience and the grace of God in giving sacrificially, generously, it is a powerful spiritual weapon. Have you ever thought about it like that? But it is a powerful spiritual weapon. It's not just about money given, but it's about a battle for freedom in our lives. And freedom in the church, and pressing into God's grace that is going to release blessing and joy into our lives. And giving generously and sacrificially is one of God's ways of keeping us free from the love of money and wealth and its control over us. It's a spiritual battle, and God's given us victory. That's how we can sow like this. And then lastly, last one, it's a great investment. How can we sow? How can we give sacrificially and generously? Because it's a great investment. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Giving is not just about parting with something, it's about sowing something. If you watch sowing for the first time, if you had no kind of concept of what it was about, it would seem a futile, pointless activity. Someone just throwing stuff into the ground. Taking something that's perfectly good and costly in that seed and burying it in the ground seems like a crazy thing to do. But then, when you understand that those, even the smallest seeds are packed with potential and huge possibilities that are only released when they're sown into the ground, then you see the dynamic at work. And that's what Paul says here. God will take what we give and he will multiply it to bless others and to bless us and to set us free. When we give sacrificially and generously, it's a wise and wonderful investment. So if God has our hearts, why would we not do this? And when we sow generously, we can trust him for the harvest. That's what Psalm 126 says, doesn't it? we sow. Sometimes it'll be with tears, it'll be with a sense of sacrifice. Won't be easy, but we will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. We have an amazing history as a church in dreaming and sowing and seeing what God does as we do that. Seeing how God unleashes his supernatural goodness here on earth amongst us. We have an amazing history. This building that we're in, that we're talking about needing to do work on, was bought and converted. Was anyone here when that was? Yeah, we've got people here. Grantley, I was with Grantley this week. He was here at the time, one of the church leaders. He said there were just 21 wage earners here at that time. And yet, because they dreamed and they sowed, God did an incredible miracle to buy and convert this place. We bought a building in Serbia for the church there. We've released ministries that have seen people saved and restored. We've dreamt and sown so that churches have been planted. One church in a small market town in the north of Norfolk. And this is a new chapter of faith for us that we're going into. A faith venture, faith projects are never about meeting targets, financial or otherwise. They're about God working in us, stirring us in faith, building muscle in us, sorting our priorities, preparing us for exploits, for everything that he is going to do. Preparing us for the white water that we've been thinking about, talking about. But when we ride white water, we know there are rocks that we have to navigate, challenges to our faith. We talked about this last Sunday evening. One rock that every church that is moving in faith has to navigate is one of finance. We have challenges in finance. We have a shortfall in our budget for this year of £6,000 that we need to make up by the end of December. We've had some amazing recent gifts that God has given us towards that, but we still need to see that made up. If we're going to pursue our 2020 vision with passion and purpose next year, we need to see our regular income going up. On current trend, we will be well short of being able to do this. We have a building project where the building permission, planning permission has just come through. That is a huge step of faith for us. So what's our response? I believe God is wanting to stir us to dream. Dream to imagine the unleashing of his supernatural goodness and to sow, to invest in that. He's calling us to dream and sow. We need to pray. I'm going to do that in just a minute. We need to pray together for faith to boldly pursue with perseverance and a joyful heart what he's laying before us. We need to pray for God to bless us with resources, with money that we can invest into his kingdom. We need to pray for others to join us on this adventure who are going to be able to partner with us and help carry the load too. We need to pray. We need to invite. Again, Peter was stirring us again earlier, calling others to come on the journey with us, whether they know Christ yet or don't know. And we sow. We give. We've got a gift day coming up over the next couple of weeks. God wants us to catch fresh dreams and vision and faith that will release us into sowing, into cheerful, sacrificial giving from our hearts. We have so many people who give generously, regularly. We're so thankful for that. Thank you. But God, I believe, is speaking to us. We've had great gift days over recent years. £15,000 regularly we've had given. That is just amazing. Wouldn't it be even more amazing if we could outstrip that this time? We want a gift day that's going to allow us to start our building fund, get that up and running. And we also want to be able to put some money aside for fresh faith ventures, our 2020 vision for next year. So God's, I believe, going to stir us about this. But our regular giving, for some, sowing for you means just starting to give regularly, even just a small amount. For others, it's saying, well, I haven't got much, but God, you know my heart, and I want to give what I can sacrificially. For some, it might be starting to tithe, taking that step of faith, or just reassessing your level of giving. God wants us to have the joy of dreaming and sowing into his supernatural goodness released on earth. Let's pray together. Can we pray? I have to pray for a few things just for the next 5 minutes or so, and then we are going to wrap up. Okay, so let's stand together. That helps just kind of stir us and get us moving. First of all, I want us to give thanks. Okay, we are so rich in God, aren't we? He's been so good to us. So I want to invite us, let's give thanks to God. Let's give thanks to his goodness for us in Jesus. Maybe you just want to kind of name check some ways that he has blessed you. Maybe recently, maybe in your history, maybe you just want to give thanks again for all that he's done through this church family. So let's lift our voices together. Let's be really active. We're just going to do this for 5 minutes, okay? Not this, we're going to pray for a few things, but can I encourage you, really stir yourself. Be active. Pray. If you're bold enough, just pray out loud, because I find that really helpful. Just try and put out of your mind other people around you. If you just think, I'm just going to pray silently, then please do that. But let's give thanks. So let's do that now for a minute. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. You know, dreaming, we said this morning, dreaming and sowing are channels that God longs to pour out his grace and his joy and his blessing into our lives. We want to be a people who dream and a people who sow with all of his grace and with all of the faith that he gives us. So now, can I encourage you, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for a release of grace. Paul says in that letter to the Corinthians that they would excel in the grace of giving. I just want us to pray for ourselves. Okay? God, would you enable us to excel in the grace of giving? Would you release to us, make it a channel of joy and blessing and grace in our lives that is going to be a remarkable thing amongst us. So let's just do that quietly. Let's just come before God and ask him, Lord, would you release us to excel in the grace of giving? Just allow maybe the Holy Spirit to just stir your heart, whisper to you. Yeah, Lord, may we be people who dream. Lord, may we be people who are released to excel in the grace of giving, Lord. Show us how we can respond in that way, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And then lastly, can you just pray maybe with the person next to you? Just spend a minute asking God to release resources to us. Maybe you want to bless that person in the name of Jesus. Ask God to release. Let's ask him to release miraculously resources to us, to bless us and to make us a blessing to others. So just with a person or two people next year, so you can just pray for that for a moment. So 2 Corinthians 9 says this: now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Lord, may that be so amongst us. May we in your grace dream great dreams. So generously, extravagantly, as a grace response to everything that you've done for us, we ask. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So we're going to finish up here. We're going to have tea and coffee served in the hatch. If you have children in the children's work, can I ask you to go and collect them, sign for them? Just before we do that, just as praying this morning, I felt God put three things on my heart. And if any of these apply to you, I'd love to be able to pray for you in a minute. I just felt God put on my heart, there's someone who's got problems with their fingers, pain in their fingers. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray for you because I believe God wants to touch you and release healing to you. I also felt God put in my heart about someone who's, it's a new thing, you're kind of got a real sensitivity to light in kind of your eyes that's really causing you a problem. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. And then one other thing that wasn't a physical thing, but just had a sense of someone who's experienced a real disappointment in one area of your life. Might be recent, might be a kind of a long time ago, but actually it's colouring the way you think and see everything else. Because of that disappointment, you kind of, when it comes to other things, almost half jokingly, but actually, it's a deep thing. You think, well, that's not going to happen for me because of that. Or good things don't happen to me because of that. Or I don't deserve that. Okay? So, again, if there's something in that that you kind of feel registers in your heart, I'd just love to pray with you because I think God wants to bring you freedom. So, any of those things, please come and grab me. I'll be down here at the front. We're going to share tea and coffee together. If you want a copy of the church letter, they're on that table there by the kitchen door. Otherwise, they'll be coming into your inbox in the next 24 hours. So bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy your life groups if they're meeting this week. And we will see you next Sunday. Thank you. Sorry? Thumbs definitely count. Yes.